All right, here's a question I want to start you guys off with this morning, and it is this. When people talk about you, would they say that you have courage? All right, think about that. When someone talks about you or thinks about you, would they say that you have courage? And to help us understand it, let's think about what courage is. All right, courage isn't living a life that doesn't have any risk. Courage is knowing that there's a risk involved, but choosing to do something anyway. All right, knowing there's a risk, thinking about the risk, and then choosing to move ahead in spite of the risk. Here's some things that take courage so we can sort of help define it for ourselves. And let's do this. I want it to see the courageous people in the room, and I want you to have a chance to sort of show off a little bit. So if you have done this thing, I want you to stand up, and then we'll be in awe of you, and then you'll sit down, and we'll go on to the next one, all right? So if you, right, just stand up. If you've jumped out of an airplane, that takes a lot of courage. Is there anybody here that's been skydiving? Has anybody jumped out of a plane? Mr. Burgess, are you the lone plane jumper? Very nice. Very courageous. I love it. I will never be that courageous. I can't do it. I can't make myself. I want to. I can't do it. All right. Here's the next one. All right. Stand up if you've been bungee jumping. Anybody? Say, I've done that one. I've been bungee jumping. I won't do that. All right. Very nice. Okay. So that takes courage. All right. Here's one. We're going to get some more people. Who's been on a zip line before? It's a big zip line, right? All right. Very nice. You guys have a seat. Here's the deal. You had to have courage to do that. You jumped off the platform trusting that you weren't going to fall to the ground, all right? Here's another one. This is a different kind of courage. We don't have, the stand-up game's done, all right? We're not doing that anymore. This is a different kind of courage, all right? Okay, one more. All right, who's been off the blob at camp, right? Takes a level of courage, right? You've got to jump off a tall platform, and you're launched into the water. All right, now the stand-up game's done. Those are things that require courage, but there's a different kind of courage. Right? There's a different kind of courage. Sometimes it takes courage, hey, junior and senior guys, it takes a little courage to step up and ask that girl to prom, right? You don't know what she's going to say, right? What if you're putting yourself out there, it could be a little embarrassing if she does say no, so it takes courage to do that. What about this? Every eye up here? Have you tried out for a team that you didn't know you were going to make? Right? Less people make it than don't make it. You're putting yourself out there. I mean, it takes boldness. It takes courage to do that. All right, what about this? What about trying again after you fail? Right? Messing up or failing or not being able to do what you set out to do. It takes courage to get back up and to try again. Or what about losing someone close to you? Right? What about losing a friend or a family member? Man, it takes courage to get up and to keep moving forward, to keep taking that next step, doing what God's called us to do. Listen, you guys have demonstrated courage in a lot of ways. I want you to think about this as well, all right? A totally different kind of courage, a totally different kind of boldness. What about courage in your spiritual life, right? Have there been times in your life where you've been spiritually bold, where you've been spiritually courageous? All right, let me give some examples of that so we can sort of think about what that is. Guys, listen, trusting in Jesus alone for your salvation, guys, that takes a spiritual boldness, a spiritual courage, because when we say yes to Jesus, we're surrendering our life to Him. We're telling Him that we're willing to do what He's called us to do. We're willing to go wherever it is He calls us to go, and guys, to give somebody else control. Like the Bible tells us to give Jesus control, it takes guts, it takes courage, it takes a boldness. Listen, guys, choosing to live for Christ the way that He's called us to live, it takes boldness, because if you do it, guess what? You're going to be different. You're going to act different than the people around you. You're going to talk different than the people around you. The thing that is driving everything you do is going to be Jesus and not the approval of the people that are around you. Guys, spiritual boldness might be giving a tithe and giving a portion of your money back to God and trusting that He's still going to provide to meet every single need that you have. Letting go of old comfortable habits and developing new ones that honor God, it takes boldness because you're changing your lifestyle. And then listen, taking the next step, And we're all in different places, but being willing to take the next step in our walk with Jesus takes boldness because, listen, it's going to push you out of your comfort zone and into something new. All right, so another question for you. What's next for you? Spiritually, what's next for you? What's that next step? Where's God calling you to go next? Where's God encouraging you to go? Where's God pushing you to be next in your walk with Jesus? Are you excited about that next step, or are you comfortable where you're at? Are you excited about following Jesus to that next place in your life, or are you comfortable staying where you're at? Who's seen the DirecTV commercials about the settlers? Anybody seen those commercials, right? They've been on a lot now, so now they're sort of annoying, but they're sort of funny the first few times I saw them. And what's going on there is you've got these people, this family that lives in 2016 like they were living in 1916, right? They live in a neighborhood, but they live in a little log cabin that they built. They make their own butter. They make their own clothes. They don't have electricity. They don't have a TV. None of that kind of stuff, right? They've settled for what they've got instead of pushing forward for what they could have. Listen, they miss out on the best because they're happy with where they're at and they don't want to take that next step. This morning, we're going to talk about that next step and what it looks like in our lives as well. Remember, we've been walking through the Old Testament. We started in Genesis with creation, and we've been walking through it. And one of the big things that we keep seeing over and over again is that through it all, no matter what happens, God is faithful, right? God keeps his promises. God does what God says he is going to do. We've seen God's people go into Egypt the last couple of weeks. We've seen God's people go out of Egypt. And right now, they're on the edge of the promised land. But here's another question. What if when God's people left Egypt, going towards the land God had promised to them, they decided, you know what? We're good. You know what, God? We're just going to settle right here. Right, we don't need to go into the promised land. It's dangerous. The people there are big. It doesn't matter that you promised it to us. What if we stopped right here and we just sort of hung out? What if we settled? If you guys have read it, you know that's exactly what happened, right? That's what they did. They were going towards the promised land. They sent people into the promised land, decided it was too hard, couldn't do it. They didn't have the boldness. They didn't have the courage to trust in God. And so they stopped and they settled right where they were at. And you know what God did? For the next 40 years, they wandered around the desert, and every person that did not have the boldness to trust God, that did not have the boldness to take that next step in their relationship with God, died in the desert. And this morning, we're picking up in Joshua chapter 1. If you've got your Bible, open up to Joshua chapter 1. And the people of Israel, again, they're on the edge of the promised land. And thankfully, God's giving them another chance. God's giving them another chance to take that next step. God's giving them another chance to be bold. God's giving them another chance to obediently follow him wherever it is he's telling them to go. So as we read this, guys, I want you to think about two things. All right, everybody look up here. Once you got your Bibles open, two things I want you thinking about. It's this. One, what's your next step? I want you to have that in your mind as we read through this. What is your next step? What is my next step? And then two, I want you to think about the boldness that these people are exhibiting here and how that boldness can be a reality in our lives as well. Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says this. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, who was Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over the Jordan River, you and all the people, into the land that I am giving them to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole upon your foot I have given to you. Look at that. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. It doesn't say I'm going to give it to you. It doesn't say one day it will be yours. It says I have given it to you, right? It's already happened. God's already given it to them. Now they just need to have the boldness to go in and to take it. Look at verse 4. It says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. And without showing you a map, God is saying you're going to have a lot of space for the people of Israel to be. The first thing I want you guys to pull out of our text this morning is this, is that we need to be ready. All right, I need to be ready. You need to be ready for whatever it is God's calling us to do. Listen, Joshua's time has come. Moses is gone. He had been the leader. He's not anymore. All right, Moses is gone, and God is calling on Joshua to step up and to be the leader. And the second thing is this. It's just sort of what exactly is God asking Joshua to do? Right, he's asking Joshua to do something pretty big. He's asking Joshua to be a part of something pretty major. We can flip all the way back to Genesis, right, in our Bible, to Genesis chapter 12 as God's dealing with Abraham. And we can see that God is asking Joshua to take his people into the land that God promised them a long time before. Remember, God's faithful and God keeps his promises. And he wants to use Joshua in this instance to do that. All right, so God's calling Joshua to step up and to lead him in. And here's the cool part, guys. Joshua was ready. Joshua was ready to do it, not because God had gifted him in a really special way, but Joshua was ready, and Joshua responded because Joshua had seen God at work. Joshua had seen God be faithful. Joshua had seen God fulfill his promises. Think about the people of Israel and what they'd gone through the last several generations, right? Joshua saw God get them out of Egypt. Joshua saw God lead them through the wilderness. Joshua saw God continually be faithful to his people, provide for his people. So Joshua had seen it. Joshua had experienced it. And because of that, he was ready to go and do what God called him to do. And I want to let you guys know something. All right, a lot of times we think, man, if I had only seen it the way Joshua had seen it, I could do it. All right, but listen, guys, think about this. You stand in a very unique place in history. You can go back and look and see how God was faithful to Joshua and how God was faithful to the people of Israel. But because of the time in history that we live, we can see the whole story, right? We can look ahead and we can see in God's word how God was faithful, how God sent Jesus, how God loved us enough to let his son die for us so we could have a relationship with him. Guys, just like Joshua has seen God keep his promises, we have seen God keep his promises as well, and we can be ready. No matter who you are, no matter how old you are, no matter what you think you can do, guys, God's word calls us to be ready. Listen, when you enter into a relationship with Jesus, the Bible says that in that moment, you become an ambassador for Christ. That means this: God wants to work in you and through you to tell the world about him. All right, we've got a job to do. We've got something that we are called to do, and we need to be ready. All right, a big part of that is paying attention. A big part of that is realizing that our lives are bigger than us. A big part of that is realizing that God wants to do more, right, than we see right here around us. We need to be ready. When we go home today, we need to be ready to do what God's called us to do. When we go to school tomorrow, we need to be ready to do what God has called us to do. No matter who we are, where we are, how old we are, or where we go, we each need to be ready. And listen, I understand that it's not always easy. It takes boldness, right? It takes that spiritual boldness that we talked about a second ago, and God knew that. And so in the same passage of Scripture, God commands Joshua to be full of boldness. Look back in your Bibles. Look at verse 5. It says this: "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just like I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you." Verse 6, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause the people to inherit the land that I swore their fathers to give to them." Verse 7, "Be strong and courageous." Again, "Be careful to do according to the law all that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then I will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success." Verse 9, again, God says, "Have I not commanded you? Have I not commanded you? Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." God's calling on Joshua not to be bold like a military leader, not to be bold like one of the spies that went into the land and saw that it was good, not to be bold like a guy that can stand up and lead millions of people. God's calling Joshua to spiritually be bold. And here's the interesting thing. There's nothing in Joshua that should have caused him to be bold in himself. Right? There's nothing that should have caused him to be bold in himself. Here's some reasons why maybe he shouldn't have been confident in just himself. Number one is this: he was not an experienced leader. All right, Moses was, and Moses couldn't get it done all the time with the people of Israel. Joshua, no experience, no reason to be confident. Number two, the people that he was supposed to lead were a people that did not always follow their leader. Remember, 40 years, an entire generation of them had just died because they weren't willing to follow God's leader, the person that God had put over them to lead them. And then number three, even if the people do lead, even if they do listen to him, here's the deal. When they go into the promised land, it's a land full of cities, fortified cities, armies, that kind of stuff. And there are people that have been in slavery for the last 400 something years. Listen, guys, Joshua did not have an easy job to do. It was going to take boldness on his part. And listen, every eye up here, 6th graders, 10th graders, 12th graders, everybody in between, adults, moms, dads, life group teachers, we don't have an easy job either. All right, what God's called us to isn't always easy. Right? We're going to face challenges. We're going to face difficulties. We're going to face things that make it very, very hard for us. Has anybody ever had the thought, I just can't do that? Has anybody ever been asked to do something and you just thought, there's no way I can do that? Thinking about Sunday nights and faith was the thing that sort of jumped to my mind. And the first night of faith every semester, when I've got a group of students and we sit down and we talk about what they're going to be doing at the end of the semester, we tell them that they're going to be going up to somebody's door. I'm going to wait in the car and just watch them and push them out there on their own. And they're going to go up to the door and knock, and they're going to open up God's word and walk through Scripture, showing somebody what it means to place their faith and trust in Jesus. The comments are always, I can't do that. There's no way that I can do that. And you're right. You can't. And I can't on our own. But when we trust in God and we have spiritual boldness, God enables us to do the things that were not possible on our own. And it's so cool to see when people step up with courage and with boldness, not in who they are, but in who God is, what can happen, right? That spiritual boldness requires us to be confident not in who we are, but in who God is. When we tell you guys in here to be bold, when we tell you guys in here to be confident, we're not telling you to be bold because how incredible you are, and you guys are all special, and you're all incredible. That's not what we're talking about. When we say to be confident and to be bold, we're asking you to be confident in who God is. We're asking you to be confident in who God is, because he is living inside of you and promises to be with you. Here's the deal. We should always be growing. We should always be moving forward. We should always be pushing for what's next. We shouldn't settle, right? And it takes boldness to move forward. It takes that spiritual boldness. It's not just for a missionary like the Sedates that are going overseas, having left everything. Guys, it's for you and me every single day as well. It's easy for us to shrink back. It's easy for us to go with the flow. It's easy for us to blend in with the world around us. Guys, I feel like right here in Joshua and all throughout God's word, God calls us to something different. God calls us to something bigger. God calls us to do things that require us to boldly trust in him. And in that passage, we know that we can because God says he'll be with us wherever we go. We know that we can because we don't have to guess about what to do. God says right there in verse 7 to do what his word says. And as we do that, he's going to give us success in what we need to do. So guys, we need to be bold. We need to be courageous and be willing to take that next step. Here's the crazy thing. Churches are full of people that aren't willing to take that next step. Yes, churches are full of people who miss out on living in the fullness of a relationship with God because they are not consistently pushing forward in their relationship with God. They settle for where they're at. They don't grow. They don't learn. They don't go to the next step. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. And guys, we have that life to the fullest. We're consistently pushing forward and trusting in God and doing whatever it is he's called us to do. So we know that we need to be ready, and we know that we need to be bold. And here's the third thing, and the third thing is very, very simple, right? We're going to end with this. Be ready, be bold, and then just do it. Do it. Don't think about it. Do it. All right? You know what you're supposed to do, so do it. Be people of action. Look back at verse 10. It says, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the camp and tell the people, get your stuff. In 3 days, we're going to pass over the river and we're going to take the land that the Lord your God is going to give you to possess. Here's the deal. Joshua knew what God wanted him to do and he didn't wait for it. Joshua knew what God wanted him to do and he didn't pray about it for 2 or 3 years. Joshua knew what God wanted him to do and guess what? He did it. Pretty crazy concept, right? He knew it, and then he actually did it. He became a man of action. In James chapter 1, the Bible tells us to be doers of the word and not just hearers. It's saying that we don't just need to hear God's word, we need to hear it and then actually go forward and do it, all right? A lot of people talk about action, but very few actually do it, all right? CFBC, we do know, we do grow, and then what's the third one?
Go,
right? We know God, we grow in our relationship with God, and then we need to go out and do what God's word has told us to do. Kelly Martin is one of our life group teachers here, and she was online a few weeks ago, a little over a year ago, and she saw a school down on the south side of Houston, the most dangerous neighborhood in Texas, the sixth most dangerous neighborhood in the United States. And she saw a school that was full of kids that need Jesus, that need people to invest in them, that need people to love them, that need people to show them that they're important, that they're unique, that they're created by God, and that there's something bigger for them in this life. God put that on her heart. God told her that she needed to be that one to make the difference in that school. And guess what? She did it. And it's turned into something bigger than I think she ever could have imagined with different events that she's done in the school and different investments that she's made in those people. And the principal of that school and the teachers of that school are telling her that they have never seen anything like what's going on in that school right now. The way the students are responding, the way that the attitude and the heart of the school is changing because Kelly was willing to step up and to be a person of action to do what God had called her to do. She's changing, all right? God's working through her to change an entire school, an entire generation of people on the south side of Houston. We're going to let you hear her story over the next couple of weeks, and it's really, really cool. But here's the deal. You might be thinking right now, I don't feel called to do that. That's okay. It's not always that. I'm telling you, it's not always that. I can tell you where we're all called. We're all called to love God. We're all called to love the people around us. When you go to lunch today, you are called by God's word, by God himself. You are called to share the love of Jesus with the people you go to lunch with. You are called, you are commanded to share the love of Jesus with the people that you go to school with tomorrow. You are commanded to love your neighbor, to invest in people, to point them to Christ. Doesn't matter who we are, we're all called to that. We need to get to a place where we're willing to do it. Where we're willing to take that next step and let it be a pattern of our lives. Pattern of our lives. Guys, don't settle. Don't stay where you're at. Don't be willing to let opportunities pass by. Here's the deal. I don't want to look back on my life and see a bunch of missed opportunities. I don't want to look back on my life and see a lot of things that I didn't do. I want to be able to look back and see where I'd taken steps to boldly follow God wherever it is God was calling me to go. And guys, that's my heart and that's my prayer for you as well, that you'd be able to look back on your time in middle school or on your time in high school and see that you were constantly taking that next step in your relationship with Christ, that you were growing in your walk with him and that you were boldly doing what it was he called you to do. Guys, don't settle. Always be moving forward. Always be moving forward. Because if we're not moving forward, we're moving backwards. Are there any Dory Warriors in here? Any Dorian warriors? All right. So I'm a warrior. Once a warrior, always a warrior. I went to Dory a long time ago, before you guys went to Dory. Man, and there was a guy there that says something to me that I never forgot. It's Coach Pinkerton, still coaching there, isn't he? Right? Yeah. I love that guy, right? He was my basketball coach that never let me play because I was terrible. But in the weight room, he always said two things that I've never forgotten, right? In the spring, when we're getting ready for the next football season and we would work out, he would motivate us with two things. And the first thing that he would say is, guys, why are we working out? And it was this chant. We'd have to shout back, beach muscles. Why are you working out? Beach muscles. And that's what he said over and over again. That's why we're working out. And the second thing he said was this. Guys, if you're not getting stronger, you're getting weaker. If you're not getting stronger, you're getting weaker. If you're not taking that next step in your development, if you're not taking that next step as an athlete or as a football player, if you're not taking that next step in the weight room, guys, you're moving backwards. And that's something that's always stuck with me. Obviously not physically and in the weight room, but just in life. That's always sort of stuck with me, that if we're not moving forward, we're at a place where we're moving backwards. When we read Joshua chapter 1, we see that Joshua had the boldness to move forward. That Joshua had the boldness to take that next step in his relationship with the Lord. And he pushed forward. And we're going to see over the next couple of weeks how God blessed him for that. How God continued to be faithful and to keep his promises. How God continued to do huge things in and through his life because he was willing to take that next step and to be bold. Listen, guys, we all need to be ready. We need to be bold. And we need to be willing to do it. We need to stop thinking about it. And we need to go out and do it. Just like we saw Joshua do here in Joshua chapter 1.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things he created instead of him. We have chosen to reject his authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things he created instead of him, which is ultimately pointless given that he is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before he forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and he took upon our punishment on himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.